A warm welcome to the Baltic Triangle podcast, where we hear from the real movers and shakers in the Liverpool City region. I'm Mark Reeson.
And I'm Mick Ord. And there's definitely a food theme to this month's podcast, where we focus on two award-winning companies working at the heart of their local communities, for the people, by the people, which seems fitting for this time of year, it must be said.
Sure is, Mick. I've been hearing the remarkable story behind the thriving home-baked cooperative bakery opposite Anfield Stadium in Liverpool. It's a thriving business and continues the wonderful tradition of home baking in the area, which goes back over 100 years. And it really shows the power of what local people can do, seemingly against all the odds.
The pies are all handmade, you know, the hand-filled, the hand-pressed. Most of our cost is our labour. If people were to see how much effort goes into it, because we could buy machinery to, like, make it quicker and, you know, do away with maybe a member of staff. But that's not what it's about. It's about making jobs, creating jobs, creating opportunities for people that wouldn't get the chance somewhere else.
We'll be hearing from Angela McKay, the operations manager, again in a few minutes. And I've been meeting food catering dynamo Michelle O'Dwyer, who runs two businesses, one commercial and one not-for-profit. Michelle got into catering in 2012 when she was at her lowest ebb, suffering from depression. She started voluntary work, which gave her an impetus which she's never lost.
You know what? People say to me, why do you do what you do? You know, and it's because if somebody hadn't helped me, when I was going through that time, 2014-15, when I was really at my lowest, I wouldn't be here now doing what I'm doing. So I just feel like it's my, you know, I've got to pay it forward. I don't have to, I want to pay it forward and help other people. And that's why I do what I do.
More from Michelle soon. Well, Mick, we didn't plan it, but we got two festive food features here today.
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, they're both related to food and they're both highly embedded in their local communities. So, as you say, we'd like to claim that was good planning, but it wasn't. I wanted to mention, Mark, that we are still looking for a partner for this particular podcast, the Baltic Triangle podcast. We're looking for a partner, the Baltic Triangle CIC were great and they sponsored us for about a year. So we're looking for someone else now. It can be a commercial business, it can be a CIC, whatever. So if you're interested in sponsoring the Baltic Triangle podcast, just get in touch with us.
If you want to get in touch with us, the email address is info@baltictrianglepodcast.com. That's info@baltictrianglepodcast.com. Well, Mick, the Home Baked Bakery was started by local residents in 2012. Following the closure of the former Mitchell's Bakery a few years earlier. There'd been a bakery on the premises in Oakville Road for more than 100 years, so it was a sad day when it was shut down, particularly in an area which has seen more than its fair share of neglect and decline over the years. And to the thousands of football fans who buy their pies and sausage rolls whenever Liverpool were playing at home. The bakery started by just opening for a few hours a day, but it's a testament to the great team of people behind the business that it's now doing so well and opens 6 days a week. Home Bake's operations manager is Angela McKay, who took up the story with me when I went down there to see her.
The concept of the bakery started with Art Biennial in Liverpool. It was a Dutch artist wanted to bring back air buildings into community use. So leaflets come around this area and I was one of the people that went and seen what was happening. After a while, with the help of the biennial, local people decided that they were going to open the bakery back up as a bakery because people were knocking on the door when people were going past saying, hey, have you got a loaf? So that's where the concept come from. We started as local people getting together and trying to save the bakery. My neighbour, Kathleen Lunt, worked in there when she was 14 years old and she's 98 now. It was the Kelly family who had the bakery then. Before them, it was the Quilliams from the Isle of Man, then Kelly's, then Mitchell's, and then ourselves, Home Baked Bakeries got it. So there's a lot of history in the building itself. It's our 10th year this year. You know, it's been a challenge over the years, them 10 years, to keep it going, and especially over the last 4 years with COVID and now the cost of living.
That's amazing. I didn't know that. So it was part of the biennial. Yeah. A Dutch artist came over, opened the a derelict shop up, and all of a sudden people are tapping on the glass asking if they can buy a loaf. Yeah. That's amazing. So that must have been really quite heartening for you guys in the community then to think, hang on a minute, there might be a viable business here.
It was, and, you know, it took a lot of effort because no one knew, you know, none of the people that were involved had maybe started a business. It took us a long time to get there, you know, and we couldn't have done it without all the people that volunteered, give us the help to set it up. You know, Gary from Colquitt Street in town came and gave us his time, and, you know, people shows how to set the books up and things like that. We done a crowdfunder for the ovens. That was amazing. So all through the time, them 10 years that we've been going, you know, I know a lot of people, too many to mention, have helped us, whether they've come in and bought something or whether they give to the crowdfunder for the ovens or just give the time. You know, I say to people, what do you do? Well, you couldn't help us, could you? And, you know, things like that. There's someone from Baltic Triangle now looking at our broadband for us as a favour. So it's things like that. It makes you realise what's out there and what people are willing to do to help people get on.
For anybody that doesn't know, obviously the bakery itself is sat right in the shadow of Anfield Stadium, Liverpool Football Club. And obviously there is a massive community of people coming into the area and going out on a sort of fortnightly basis, you know, depending on whether they're home or away. But there's also a community here in the surrounding streets that sometimes does feel like it's a little bit overlooked.
I think it all goes back to the failed market renewal project that the Labour government brought in and then the Conservatives axed. A lot of people were displaced. So, you know, when you go back sometimes on any newsreel or anything about Liverpool, you'd see like terraced houses and it was always like a negative feel. And you know, people would say, you know, why don't they move? But there's a community here. So when all demolition happened and some people were forced out the houses and moved to different places, some people wanted to leave. Myself, I lived in a street and all the houses were turned up facing me. You know, you'd see people looking at the area and you know, and it always got like a bit of a bad reputation. But, you know, there's a lot of good people live in Anfield and Everton and they've built new houses. It's come a bit of a more diverse community. There's a lot of different people living around now. And so it's helped make the area come back together because so many streets and so many houses and businesses are closed. It was just on a match day, yeah, you get loads of people, but what about when there's no match on? And that's the thing with the bakery, you know, we've always tried to be affordable for people to come in. You know, we do a loaf, a white loaf and a brown tin loaf, you know. The price is £1.70. I know if we were in like the south end of the city or a more affluent area, that would be artisan bread. And I know my neighbours and other people in the community want like a good white loaf that hasn't got loads of preservatives in and it's freshly baked that morning. So we try and keep the price as low as we can because that's what we want. You know, we have a loyalty card. If people come in and buy a loaf, they get a free stamp. So they're all things that, as a business, we give back. I think when the match is on, it's great and everyone looks and goes, oh, you know, there's loads of money. But there's loads of money come in, but the money goes out the area as well. It's hard then to keep afloat when there's no matches, especially after COVID. You know, we had no fans coming into the area. Not just the bakery, a lot of other independent business felt it and we're all still trying to recover. But because we rely a little bit on that trade of the matches, it's been hard. When people say, well, build it and people will come and it's like, Grace, build it. But what are you building? Are you building it just for people who are coming to the area for the match or are you building it for the people who actually live here?
Well, I've visited your bakery now a few times and it's impossible for me now to not be in this area without stopping by and either get a loaf or a couple of pies. Just give me some sense of what it is that you make there. I mean, I know you do these fancy pies, the brandy and mushroom one especially, I love.
So what we do is we make bread fresh every day. We make scones, we make cakes, you know, tray bakes, different types of cakes. And then obviously we're famous for our pies. We have a group of staff that are dedicated to doing that. Marks and Spencer's give us £10,000 5 years ago. And someone had phoned and said, I'm selling bread racks. And we went and had a look, and they were trying to find someone to take over their lease. So we took it over with the idea that if we take the pies out of making them in the bakery, because it was too small, we couldn't make the cafe work because everything was on top for the pies. So we rented this space off these guys, and we've got our small producers license off Sefton Council, and we have three volunteers going down with additional needs, go down and help us make the pies. When you look at our pie, the pies are all handmade, the hand-filled, the hand-pressed. Most of our cost is our labour. If people were to see how much effort goes into it, because we could buy machinery to, make it quicker and, do away with maybe a member of staff, but that's not what it's about. It's about making jobs, creating jobs, creating opportunities for people that wouldn't get the chance somewhere else. People who come in and have a job, enjoy coming into work. One's from Autism Initiative, one's got additional needs, and they come and that's their job, and they wouldn't get that opportunity anywhere else. So when people buy a pie, that's into that pie. That's why we have a hashtag more than a pie, because it is more than a pie.
You do the clot pie and you do the Shankly pie and a few other pies, don't you? So how much is that connection with Liverpool? Is it because you're in the shadow, or is it because they're part of that community that's there in Home Baked Bakery?
The Shankly pie is from the Shankly family. They give us the recipe. And so they give us the heads up to say, yeah, you can make a pie. And, when you look at Bill Shankly and what his values were as a man, that's a great accolade. The clot pie, I'm disappointed he hasn't come over and had a pie yet. We are still trying that. So what we try and do, it's like a marketing thing, obviously, because you do want to come in and get the same pies all the time. And the guy who makes the pies, Dan, he tries and, we've just brought out our Christmas pie, which is turkey, cranberry, sage and bacon. You want people to come in and go, oh, what's the new pie this week and that. So you want to create a bit of interest as well, because you want people to say, oh, what's the special pie? And especially on a match day, we'll try and put different pies on so people don't get bored getting the same pie.
I can't believe he hasn't popped over. He's only across the road.
I think it's someone from LFC should bring them over. And, Liverpool Football Club, the foundation are great with us, in the summer holidays, they buy off us locally, to do the programmes with kids in the community. So, we were able to do that. We did have a contract with Liverpool. We used to do 700 mini pies. We'd go to their executive lounges. They didn't need our pies because they were in sponsorship. But we've been back in talks with them now because that sponsorship's ended. So hopefully, fingers crossed, they will buy again off us. And they do buy off us, if there was a radio show there this morning. They've come in and bought cakes off us for that. So they are good, do you know what I mean? Maybe they could be a bit better. But no, honestly, what I will say, even though, because people know I'm Evertonian, that they did give us the levy fund. So we were able to put two people through on apprenticeships. So they're still working for us, but Liverpool Football Club are paying for their apprenticeships. So what's happened is one of the apprenticeship was in marketing. So he'd been on the Works programme with Liverpool City Council, and he come as kitchen porter, but we knew his skills were more marketing, so we got him on an apprenticeship level 4 in marketing. He done that. He still does our social media for us, but he's just got a job with Liverpool Football Club. So it's come back around, which is great, and that's what we're about. It is giving kids and local people in our area the chance to get maybe that education, or, not everyone wants to go to university and things like that. So it was great, and to see him now get a job and work with Liverpool doing, you know, what his qualification is, as Grace. Got another young lazy doing an apprenticeship and is as project manager. So hopefully as the business grows, I'll be able to just say to her, this is yours, that's what you got your qualification for. Go out and, you know, get us this work in, or we've been offered this, would you like to take that over? When you think about them things, they're the things that you really made up about.
How important is it to you personally and to the bakery to have that element of community hub, if you like?
It's really important because it's not going to work. You know, if local people don't come in, it's really important that it's not other people doing it to us. We are the community. We're the ones who are doing it. There's loads of stuff that we do. We just do it. I don't want it going on social media all the time, going, oh, look at us, this is what we're doing, because that's not how you were brought up. If you're going to do a good turn, you just do it. You're not wanting that accolade all the time. So there's loads that we do. If you want it to be real, you just do it. Having the word community, and you've got to answer to a lot of people. So it's a lot of responsibility, and we do. I hope people come in and when they see it, they go, well, yeah, you know, you're coming in, you're buying a coffee. That coffee you're buying off us, a local trader down in Make Space, is helping his business. You know, we're not buying it online. And, you know, so any money that we make stays in like a 3 mile radius. So when they've started with this circle economy and all that, well, we've been doing that for 10 years. You know, we have. You know, we buy our pie cases from Cherry Lane, our butchers in Walton Vale. And as I said, you know, our household items come from Kirkdale, and the coffee's from Meath, you know, Ricardo's down there. So we try and, you know, keep it as local as possible, because we want that money to stay in this area, because it isn't a dead affluent area. And I hate saying it. And when people say it, you know, people say, you know, we're on the boundary of Anfield and Everton. So the bakery is classed as being in Everton, even though within everyone associates this area as Anfield. But the two most deprived areas, wards, in, that we get told that's in the city. It's hard to keep business going.
You've touched on something there that I think is important that we speak about a little bit more, because it's relevant to what you do. This area in particular has always been looked at as potentially one of the most deprived areas of the city. And what you're doing, even if you're doing it in some small measure, is you're actually, you know, putting something back into it, as you rightly say. I think it's incredible that you've got so many businesses connected to you in such a small radius. I mean, talk to me a little bit about how people can get involved in what you do and how they can support you then.
So we're always looking for volunteers. You know, I was working with Dave Kelly from Fan Support and Food Bank, and he's part of Everton fan base. So we're in the fan zone on a match day at Everton. So we have a horse box at Everton. We're always looking for people to volunteer. And, you know, without the fan base at Everton, we wouldn't have got in. You know, we were always looking for people to join our board who have got maybe business experience, you know, people to come in and do shifts. You know, there's a lot of home bakers that bake at home, but there's no one to give the bakes to. So, you know, call in. You can come in and bake a cake in the bakery. You know, we can facilitate that. And then people, it's that breaking people's isolation, mental health, all that's all wrapped up in people coming in, meeting the staff, chatting and things like that. So, you know, there's a lot of things that people can help with. You know, we're always looking for drivers, you know, when we're doing like Granby Market, you know, we do that. We have volunteers who do that. We're always looking for people who want to, you know, have got that experience, that want to get involved. So, yeah, you know, they're things that people can help us with. Come in and spend your money. Come in and buy off us, you know, if you go on the match or you go and drive and pass, call in and get a coffee, meet the staff, you know, meet some of the volunteers that we've got there on a day-to-day basis and that. Just come in, you know, support local small community businesses and you know, independent businesses, obviously, like across Liverpool. Go in and spend your money there in them places.
So give me some sense then of how people can keep up to date with what you're doing. And if someone wants to contact you and say, listen, we want to get involved in this capacity or whatever, how can they do that?
They can get involved by emailing on inquiries at homebigbakery.com. They can call in the shop, leave the number with staff, chat to the staff, leave details out so we can get in contact with them. You can see us at Granby Market. We're there the first Saturday of every month. Other than January, we're not there in January. We're at Goodison on a match day. If people want to come and help make pies, they can come. The chef will, you know, go through all the health and safety and they have to do. And if it's 2 hours a week, they want to come and help press pies, you know, the more people, the merrier. It just helps us then to be able to keep up with demand. So these things like that, I'd love a big investor to say, love what you're doing, how much do you need, and give us it. When I say about when people look back on what we've done, and, you know, I'm proud of where Own Big Bakery is now, because any money we've got, people can see where it's gone, what it's gone into, whether it's being buying equipment, you know, getting the back of house up to spec, things like that. We do a 6-week cooking course, and we were doing that, you know, one of our chefs was doing that out of our trader's income, but we were able to get a grant. So people can come, you know, if people are out there that go, you know, I'd love to know when you see the chefs, how they cuss, you know, why some of the vegetables are cuss a certain way and the names and that. So we've got knife skills that people can come in and learn that, learn how to make stock, so they can make soups, sauces, learn how to bake bread, cakes. So it's a 6-week programme that we've got. And people can come in, obviously fill a form in, and we'll let them know when these are placed. But that, again, that's what we're doing, because we want people in the local area to have them skills and come in and see the back of house and see what we're doing and things like that. So, yeah, so spend your money. Come and volunteer. You know, and it might be an organisation, because I know these, like, people have said to me in the past, you know, what would you like us to do? Well, you know, if you've got a free Sunday and it's an organisation, if you want to come in and paint one of the rooms for us, or, you know, things like that, that's great. You know, someone that can come in once a month and say, okay, what do you want to do? And me saying, can you check all the chairs? Can you fix this? Can you put a shelf up? Because otherwise we're having to, you know, we haven't got anyone that can do that, so we're always like, I'm always paying in pies. I'm always going, what can you do? Yeah, here's a pie, can you put that shelf up? Yeah, have you got a drill? And things like that. So that's how I've been able to make people understand, you know. And it's like the lads who have been doing the stands at Liverpool, you know, come in and spend the money, and we know people have only got a budget for the lunch, and we try and keep it a fair price so that people can come in and have a nice cup of tea and have a nice coffee and a cake and have a chat. And, you know, when the builders were there, I was saying to them, I know yous are coming in, but this is what your money's doing, you know, by yous supporting us by coming in, and yet yous are getting, like, a good quality bacon butty. But your money's helping that lad play the piano at the front, and, you know, you're helping other people come in and do stuff. We can't do the community bit unless we've got a sustainable business. It's really hard. We want to be in the next 10 years. I want to be able to come down, you know, my street, call in for a coffee and be dead proud of what we've achieved. And it can only be that if we've got the knowledge, if we've got the resources. That's why I say about people being able to volunteer, if they've got the commercial, you know, if they've got production. You know, there might be someone that works in production that can come and go, okay, you're not using machinery, but have you thought of doing it this way and things like that? And that's the whole object. It's been a bakery for 100 years, so we want to keep it going for the next 50 years under Own Big Bakery's name.
It's amazing to see that you're trying to build a community business that's sustainable, as you say, for the future, because there is such a great deal to be gained from having the bakery doing what it does in the community. Ange, I can't thank you enough. I feel like I've taken so much of your time up. You know, in fact, what I've actually done is I've given myself a bit of an appetite. So I'm going to head back to the bakery and I'm definitely going to have a pie. So thanks, Anne.
Oh, no, you're welcome. Thanks for coming in. And thanks for just highlighting us as well and small businesses across the city. You know, we need as much cushion as we can so people, like, understand what it's about.
You're very welcome. And I do recommend anyone who's passing, get yourself in there, get yourself a pie and a Cafe Ricardo.
Angela McKay there, who's Home Bakes operations manager. I think it's one of the great local stories, like the Kitty Wilkinson laundry. One of the great local stories of the city from the past 10 or so years, isn't it, Mark?
Yeah, absolutely, Mick. There's such a lot going on down in Anfield. I mean, it's very easy to sort of just think about it in terms of football. But, you know, as was touched on there, there's a thriving local community there, you know, and it's so good to see those little success stories when they do pop up.
Yeah, and we need more of them, don't we? I mean, we hear about the success stories, and I personally know a number of people who've got similar ventures in other parts of the area, not just Liverpool, but Birkenhead as well. But they need a helping hand a lot of the time to get off the ground. And there needs to be more of them because they can kickstart a local area if they're well managed and they've got a good business plan. And it's great to see Home Baked is working so well, isn't it?
Well, it's working really well. I mean, it's working so well, in fact, that they've actually launched a Patreon page. So you can get some more information by going onto Patreon there and having a look at what they've got going on. You know, there's all sorts of different levels that you can join as a member on. And again, anything you put in is going to go back into that local community, as Ange very rightly pointed out when I went down there and spoke to her. So you're buying more than a pie. As they say in their bump, you're having your own piece of the pie.
So how do people find out more about becoming a member?
Well, I mean, if you went onto the Patreon page, I mean, if you just typed in Patreon into a search, you're going to go straight to that website. And then if you went under Home Bake Bakery, I'm sure you'd find any details you needed to do there. Or pop into the bakery. They've got some fantastic leaflets there. Or talk to one of the friendly staff in there. They'll tell you all about it.
Great stuff. Well, we said there's a food theme to this month's podcast, but there's also a community theme as well, as I found out when I caught up with Michelle O'Dwyer, the woman behind Bay Tree Caterers Liverpool and the not-for-profit Bay Tree Cooking Academy. Michelle's business story took off in 2014 when she was suffering from depression and decided to do some voluntary work in addition to her catering business to help her get out of what was a really difficult time for her in her personal life. But with the help of various key individuals, who we'll hear about shortly, she managed to turn her life around and develop Bay Tree into something far more than a catering business. And their big news is they're looking to expand, as we'll find out shortly.
Do you know what? It was just a chance encounter. I was running my events company at Speak Training Education Centre a few years before Mark Ord, who's an unsung hero of our city, paid for me all the step paid for me to do my teacher training. I was doing voluntary work at 2014-15. I was going through a very difficult time, suffering with depression, low self-esteem, different things, and started volunteering at my local food bank in the north. And I loved it so much, started doing more voluntary work. I was still working at the time, still running my little events business, but never thought about going into teaching. And then Mark approached me 2017 in January and said, well, you know, we run courses for adults, but we'd like to do cookery classes, and we'll pay you to do it. So I was like, amazing. Never thought I was qualified to teach, but never done anything with it. With Mark's support and speech training education, started to run cookery classes and it took off. It was so popular. And what I would do is do a cookery class and then we'd feed our students onto other courses through STEC. So it was like a carrot, really. We're dangling the foodie carrot, getting them in and then getting them up, building more confidence and getting them onto other courses.
So who came on the courses?
Well, specifically, STEC have a remit for the south of the city, but we have a little bit of leeway to go into other areas. But mostly we did the south of the city, but we worked with young people. We worked, well, with young people, like young parents. We worked with ex-offenders, drug and alcohol rehab, mental health, people on low incomes, families, just all a motley crew of different people, amazing people.
And these are people that, and I know you hate this phrase, but they're often described as low-income people or vulnerable people.
It could be. I mean, you know what? You get some people who have been employed for a long time for one reason or another. Maybe they've been ill. It doesn't take a lot, and then you know sometimes it's just coming out of the house, finding the feet again, and then coming on to cookery classes and just enabling them to just get out back out in the community. So it is a variety of people. Some people, you know, have money, but then are socially isolated. So it's, again, it's another opportunity for them to come out and learn a new skill and meet new people.
So we're talking about 2017, yeah. 2018.
Yeah.
Then what happened? Because you continue to have the Cookery Academy, but you've also got your business as well, haven't you?
Yeah, so the events business has always been like, ticks along very nicely. I've got clients that I've had for years that I've cooked for, which is a fantastic. A lot of my work with the events companies word of mouth, but I really loved teaching. It was something like, I can't even explain it. You know, when you find your calling, love getting up every day, meeting all the amazing people. I'm a mobile cookery teacher, but I wanted to, like, I was getting approached by different charities, different community centres saying, can you come to ours? We'd love to have you there. But because of, I was working with adult education, we had a certain remit within the city. So Mark suggested for me to start a CIC, which is a community interest company. Didn't have a clue, to be fair, but I got with some support. I got some support from Bob Blanchard, who helped me set up my CIC, which is fantastic. He's just been an angel. He helped me set up the CIC. But that enabled me to get funding then so I could work across the city with many other vulnerable groups.
So you yourself have to apply for funding from various bodies. Name a couple of those bodies.
It's things like your lottery funding, city councils, things like that. You know, you just apply for, basically you have to say what you're doing. But luckily enough, because I had years and years of working within the community, not only through adult education, but through voluntary sector, because I do a lot of voluntary work, I already had to say, it's working. This is something that's working. This is what it's helping people do. I just need some more money to be able to enable me to be able to reach more people. And luckily enough, you know, it's gone from strength to strength.
So you had a track record,
yeah,
in working with the kind of people who need the help that you're offering.
Yes, definitely. I mean, one of the main groups that I absolutely love working with is my military veterans. I started volunteering with the military veterans 2016, Tom Harrison House, Veterans HQ, working with the families. And never would I have dreamed of working with the military ever, but it's absolutely one of my passions. It's one of my love of my life. The military sector have been so supportive for me. So if I'm going to go and do some voluntary work, say we've gone and dug out, you know, community gardens. So I'll get approached. Sometimes people approach me and go, Shell, do you know anybody that can help us? We've got this community garden completely overrun. What can we do? So I'll say, right. So I'll contact one of my veteran organisations and we'll all go. So I don't volunteer. I make sure that I'm there digging alongside them. So we go out and do community work. We do litter picking. So we along HMS Eaglet on the front, we went litter picking. We had some groups from there. We had reservists. We had the military there. We had some cadets there. And we went and picked up 156 kilo of rubbish along the front, in two days.
So that was you and the military veteran groups?
Yeah, and cadets and everybody. So I don't just do cooking. We do other stuff as well. And it's just great to be able to get out in the community and meet people.
Well, this is not stuff that you get paid for, this stuff you're talking about, is it? So, and yet it still falls within Bay Tree.
Yeah, it's just part of, you know what? People say to me, why do you do what you do? You know, and it's because if somebody hadn't helped me, when I was going through that time, 2014-15, when I was really at my lowest, I wouldn't be here now doing what I'm doing. So I just feel like it's my, you know, I've got to pay it forward. I don't have to. I want to pay it forward and help other people. And that's why I do what I do.
And yeah, the business side of it, as you say, that's ticking along okay, the event side of it. So if I want to have a big event at whatever size arena, I would contact you and you do all the catering and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, we do events. It's never really any... I mean, like next year, I'm doing a wedding for somebody and they're having Indian food. I recently did an event and they had Indian food and Thai food. So it's very rare that I do anything, sort of bland. It's always something a little bit different, a little bit quirky. I've done Greek weddings. I've done Spanish food. I've done barbecues for people in the middle of a field. People tend to come to me when they want something a little bit unusual.
What do you do if someone says, like, I want Greek food and you've never cooked Greek food or you haven't? I mean, you do the cooking yourself, don't you?
Yeah. No, I do it, yeah. I've cooked food from all over the world. And when I'm teaching as well, I teach food from all over the world. So, you know, what I want to do is, because especially if people are on a budget and, you know, for me to go on out and think, right, I've got a bag of lentils there, I can make some dal. Because I know the spices to put in. So again, that passion for world cuisine is really good for the events because people want something a bit different. But then they're also really good for the cookery school because, you know, I get people to try food from places they may never visit, but they get to have it in the home at half the price and a lot healthier.
Now, you're not from Merseyside originally, are you? You're from Derby, aren't you? So what's, you know, talk us through your journey, why you're here.
So my mum and dad met at Labour Party conference and my mum just, you know, fell madly in love with Roy and then we moved to Liverpool and that's how I came, 2011. So that's how I ended up here. And I've lived all over, but Liverpool's my home. It's one of the most amazing cities in the world. And, you know, I feel honoured to live here and be an honorary Scouser.
You've won a number of awards, including the Good Small Business Award. Just tell us what you had to do to win those.
I didn't know I was getting it, to be fair. I went along to the Good Small Businesses about sustainability. It's a brilliant, business ethos because it's really celebrated small businesses that are really looking after the environment and looking at sustainability and helping each other, which is amazing. One of my friends, she was part of it. I knew a lot of people that were going. So I actually went to the Good Small Business Awards to support other people. Didn't know I was up for an award at all. And then this lovely chap at the end of the evening reads through this resume and I'm looking around thinking, who's this person's flipping wonderful? Who is it? And looking around and he read out my name and I was absolutely, there's a video of me getting the award and someone actually had to push me to get off the chair because I don't really like being in front of people either. I just feel, don't know, you just get embarrassed, don't you? You know, and I love my job. It's lovely that people want to put me up for awards, but you know, if it brings more traction to the CIC, so Bay Tree Cookery Academy, if it makes people more aware of what I'm doing, amazing, you know. So yeah, that was one of the awards.
And then the other, you won a High Sheriff's Award, didn't you?
Yeah,
High Sheriff of Liverpool or Merseyside.
Yeah, High Sheriff of Merseyside. Again, I went to the event. I was invited. I thought it was a networking. You know, I thought they were bringing me along, and I didn't realise I was up for an award, and I got the High Sheriff Award. So absolutely gobsmacked on that one.
So you got them on your mantelpiece now, have you?
I have. Yeah, I'm gonna have to create more room. It's lovely. You know what? Without the support of my volunteers, the people that have kept me going. I mean, through the pandemic, we did recipe kits. So we built recipe kits from scratch. We weighed all the ingredients and made individual recipe kits. And then we delivered them. We did about 500 to 600 recipe kits a week. And I couldn't have done that without the team of volunteers, without people who go, come on, we'll, other crazy like-minded people that go, you know what, Shell, come on, we'll do this. We delivered meals through the pandemic. You know, at the Joseph Lappin Centre with Katie McCormick, who's absolutely amazing. That was our base. We did hampers for people. I couldn't do without what I'm doing without the support of the community centres, the churches, the charities. They're the ones that, and the volunteers. I mean, the amount of amazing volunteers I have, you know, I can just pick up the phone and they're like, they're there straight away. And they really believe in what I'm doing and I can't thank them enough.
That's fantastic, isn't it? Now, tell us about the Christmas Day community dinner that you're organising for this year. You did it last year, didn't you? It's at the Vauxhall Community Centre,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing Christmas dinner for the last few years. One year I didn't do it and it was the worst Christmas ever. Again, I was suffering with social isolation, not feeling great. Christmas can be a very challenging time for many. So I started volunteering many years ago. But what I noticed is that some of the organisations were turning away volunteers and I'm thinking, well, you don't know why these people are volunteering. You know, it could be that, you know, they're on their own like me, or that, you know, I didn't have a lot of money at the time, so I was great to, you know, obviously getting fed on Christmas Day was amazing. So I set up my own Christmas Day. I thought, right, I'm going to do my own. So the first Christmas Day we did, 2019 on the Wirral, that was our very, and we had 170 people from across Merseyside. We had buses and coach loads coming over, and loads of support from the community, people from different backgrounds, different religions, all coming along to support Christmas Day. That was such a success. And obviously we had the pandemic, so then we were delivering food, delivering meals on Christmas Day. Tom Harrison House, the veterans, they're the ones that come and help me do all the peeling and all the Christmas food prep. Again, I couldn't do that on my own without them coming and helping me. And then last year when obviously, and I thought, you know what, we've been through a pandemic, we really need to celebrate Christmas. We really need to bring people together because social isolation was at its highest through the pandemic. So didn't have any money, didn't know how I was going to do it, but spoke with St. Andrew's Community Network. They do the food bank in the north of the city. Amazing church, amazing community people. They said, right, we'll help you do it, Shell. And then it just sort of spiraled. And then South Liverpool Homes, they donated funding. Anne Owens, who's another great, you know, unsung hero of our city. She always volunteers and she always comes along and helps. She spoke to Roy Williams, who donated. This year, we've got funding. I'm trying to remember. John Lewis has funded us. Chris, who works in the community, she's amazing from John Lewis. She helped me. She put me forward for some funding, which I got. Jaguar Land Rover funding it. Obviously, St. Andrew's Community Network are helping. Wellness in the City, they come. Every event, they are a wellness company looking at different forms because wellness is, you know, to combat social isolation is a form of wellness. So they're there Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, mopping, cleaning, helping me cook, going to tip runs, getting presents. We've got, who else is, I'm trying to remember who else has donated. Everyone's going to kill me saying, you never mentioned me. One Vision Housing. Oh, the Big Help Project, they've donated this year as well. I've been working with the Big Help Project doing different things, and they're amazing organisations. They've donated. We did a little bit of crowdfunding. My local gym, the gym on Great Homer Street, they're actually doing a collection. I put it on social media the other day. They went out and bought 120 selection boxes. They managed to raise enough money and they're still collecting now, which is absolutely phenomenal. HMS Eaglet, they're doing a collection at their base. So it's all these different communities, all these different associations coming together. Doesn't matter what your background is. You might not even celebrate Christmas, but what you do celebrate is community.
And that's going to be a big event at the Vauxhall Community Centre on Christmas Day.
Yeah. And we're actually, I think we're at capacity now. We hire all the crockery in.
So how many people are you talking about?
Last year we had about 150. I think we're on 150 now. That's without all the volunteers. So I think we'll be on about 180, creeping up to 200 Christmas Day. I'm hoping that we can hire more crockery because I've put the order in, I've paid for it, but I think we're going to need more. It's amazing that people want to come out and celebrate. Again, Christmas Day, we've got Sway with Ray, who's going to come and do some dancing for us. I've got Chris Sage, who's a DJ. He's going to come and do all the music for us Christmas Day. He does it. These people do everything free of charge for me. I've got Jive Teddy coming out in the afternoon to come and do some singing. We've got an inflatable grotto. We've got a craft area. We've got a games board area. We've got amazing food. We do a two-course dinner. We've got Santa. Everybody gets a hamper. So if you come along, you get a little food hamper for you to take home and everybody gets a present.
You're also looking to expand in 2024, aren't you? Not only the business, but the cooking academy as well.
Yeah, I mean, we were supposed to have expanded through the pandemic, before the pandemic, and that just put the kibosh on everything, didn't it? I've been lucky enough, I've been supported by Kindred, who work with STOs, sustainable training organisations. And Kindred have been so supportive of me. Got a bit of funding from them and they have kept that funding for me for 3 years because they believe in my project. We're trying to find premises. We need quite a large area because we run the cookery school and I run the events business. We're bringing the events business into the CIC so it can make it sustainable and it can sing for its supper. So it's a tall order because we need quite a big space. We're building a bespoke kitchen because I work with people with disabilities as well, building a bespoke kitchen. And that way I can support my veterans. I can support all these amazing people that come and help me take the next step and hopefully get them into work, but in a supportive, caring environment.
So you're looking for somewhere in the Merseyside area that's big enough to support your ventures?
Literally that we can take over and build a kitchen from scratch, preferably in the north of the city, because I feel like there's a lot going on in the south and there's not where I live in the north. We need something a little bit more like, you know, you've got some amazing organisations. We've got Squash Nutrition up here and some other organisations in the south of the city. So I just feel like I really want to help and support. Not that we'll still be doing remote learning. So the base of operations will still be doing education, but I will still be going out cooking in the community because I feel that's so important to make sure that we can get out there because not everybody can travel. Maybe the carers, maybe they're you know, they've got low incomes. I need to still be going out to them to support them.
For people who want to help you, whether they've got a venue or not, or they've got some ideas, or they just want to get and back what you do, what should they do? How do they get in contact with you, Michelle?
They can go onto the Facebook page, Bay Tree Cookery Academy, and message me on there. I'm all over social media, Twitter, all of that. So it's Bay Tree Cookery Academy or Bay Tree Events. You can normally find me. If you type my name in, Michelle O'Dwyer, I'll come up. You know, so you can always find me on that. And if you have got a venue and you think that would be suitable, then that'd be amazing. It needs to have disabled access, obviously. But we're desperate, really. As I say, Kindred have been absolutely amazing and so supportive. And they're trying to find premises for me as well. But I think it's because we need quite a large space. It's quite difficult.
How large a space do you need, would you say?
Well, I haven't got a clue. I know it when I see it.
Well, 10,000 square feet, something like that?
Something like that, yeah. Because we're cooking and we're running the events company as well. And we're going to be doing food education and training. So, yeah, fairly big space.
Michelle O'Dwyer there from Bay Tree Caterers. Mick, again, another fantastic story to hear about from the local community here in Liverpool City region. And tell me more about what she's actually looking for those expansion plans.
Yeah, well, they want to expand. The building that they want to go to, as she said, has got to have enough room for a kitchen. They do have some backing for this. It's just they're trying to get the right premises. And as she said, they're looking mainly for somewhere in North Liverpool, but they, you know, they'll have a look around if someone's got a property that they think might be right up their street. Around 10,000 square feet or so, but not necessarily. If you've got a property or you know a property that you think might be right for them, Bay Tree Caterers Liverpool, and ask to speak to Michelle. She's everywhere. If you haven't bumped into her yet, you will do, because she's an absolute dynamo.
If you do get a chance to pop in and say hello to the folks down there at the Home Bake Bakery in Oakville Road, then please do. They're fantastic people, and their cakes, their pies, and their bread is amazing. Mick, one more word about our sponsor. If there is someone out there who wants to be part of what we're trying to do here, please feel free to get in touch with us. That email address is info@baltictrianglepodcast.com. That's info@baltictrianglepodcast.com.
Yeah, it'll be great to hear from you. This is our 48th episode of the Baltic Triangle podcast. A lot of podcasts start off and then sort of disappear after 3 or 4 months. We ain't like that. This is probably our 5th year, isn't it, Mark? It's 48 anyway. So 48 months, so that would say 4 years, wouldn't it? So we have been going for a while and we're not planning to knock it on the head yet. So do get in touch.
It's been our absolute pleasure to do 48 of these episodes. Quick shout to Rich Bennett for all of the fantastic support work that he gives us across the year. And and obviously thank you to you, as ever, for being there with us and listening to what we say.
We'll speak to you next time.